Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description. Oh, hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
Welcome back to Going In Raw, Matt Chat. This is the question fueled by $20 and up patrons. They send their video questions in. We run the video questions here and answer, debate what they want us to debate.
Yeah.
Right here, youtube.com/Steven Larson. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and notify bell next to it. We've got a packed show today.
We very much do.
Absolutely. Again, at the Patreon that I just mentioned a moment ago, patreon.com/Steven Larson. $20 and up. You can get your video here on Matt Chat.
Yeah.
We're going to hop right into it. Big developments at New Beginnings in New Japan.
Oh, yeah.
Bullet Club torn asunder,
yeah,
perhaps.
Problems.
And then storyline continued in intriguing fashion on being the Elite. Being the Elite is canon.
I believe so, yes.
Do they have to like run stuff by New Japan?
I don't know.
That'd be, it's kind of, because at first it seemed like a goof and now they're like running storylines.
Yeah, I know.
It's kind of weird. Anyways, our good friend Patrick Sparks has a question about that for us to debate. Let's see what Patrick has to say.
Hey, friendos, Pat here. So, all my wasps are dead, but I got a debate topic for you. So, recently over the weekend, we saw Kenny Omega maybe get kicked out of Bullet Club by being attacked by Cody Rhodes. Now, that happened, hypothetically speaking, fantasy booking, whatever. Say down the line, the conclusion of this storyline is that the Elite leave Bullet Club. What I want you to debate is, would that be the death of Bullet Club? Could they continue on their own, or would the departure of the Elite from the Bullet Club be the death of them, and would the Elite continue to prosper? What do you guys think? Thanks, friendos. Bye.
Thank you, Patrick.
No! No, if the Elite left Bullet Club, it would not mean the end of Bullet Club. Look at the talent that would be left over there. I mean, obviously, when he says the Elite, we're talking about the big three, Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks. So he'd be left with Cody Rhodes and be left with the villain, Marty Scurll, Hangman Page, star of the future. And then, of course, there's OG Bullet Club, Fale, Tama Tonga,
Tongaloa?
Tongaloa.
Actually, he's a pretty recent addition.
And then, well, yeah, but I'm the first two OG.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the true future.
Oh, Chase Owens.
No, Louis Tonga.
Leo Tonga.
Now, Bullet Club will be fine if the Elite leave. Will it lose some of the luster? Will it lose some of the marketability? Maybe. But Bullet Club is an institution. And we saw in 2017, at the beginning of 2017, we saw that Bullet Club felt like it was maybe teetering on the edge of irrelevancy. They came back bigger and stronger. Yes, maybe on the backs of being in the Elite, the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, the fantastic matches they were putting on. But I have no doubt that the talent currently in Bullet Club, and maybe if Neville, when he finally gets out of his contract with WWE, goes over, he's Bullet Club. Maybe CM Punk, he could be Bullet Club. Maybe Hulk Hogan, he said that he was in negotiations to be Bullet Club, brother. All those things, Bullet Club is fine. Bullet Club is real.
I'll toss something in to bolster your argument. the Bullet Club has already lost three former leaders, Prince Devitt, Carl Anderson, AJ Styles.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just fine after all those departures. Who's to say after the departure of Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks, potentially, they still won't be fine.
All right, case made. Let's
move on. That said, though, I'm not going to say definitively this is the end, but it puts the future of the faction in great peril, Steve. When your top three performers in your faction all say, no more, I'm out of here, that's going to cause a huge problem. I like Cody. I think he's great. I like Marty Scurll. I think he's great. But in terms of in-ring ability, there's a drop, pretty massive drop, from Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks to Cody Rhodes and Marty Scurll. Both Cody Rhodes and Marty Scurll do great character work, tons of charisma, and that can help prolong the existence of Bullet Club. But I think the reason Bullet Club is where it is now is because Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks were putting on stellar matches, getting out there in the mainstream press, garnering attention for Bullet Club, not only here in the States, but across the world. Their shirts are in Hot Topics everywhere, selling out. And it's all happened within this last year. And a lot of it, the credit, has to go to Kenny Omega and Young Bucks.
I don't disagree with that. I just think...
So I don't know. I love Cody Rhodes. I think he's fantastic. I don't know if he has the same star power that Kenny Omega has. I just don't know if if he does. And if he is set to take up leadership of Bullet Club, I don't know if they continue on this current healthy and successful trajectory under his stewardship. I just don't know.
Okay.
It's an interesting time for New Japan to pull this, though.
Well, something that could help us answer that question is this next debate topic from the cat Daryl Takahashi. Let's see what he has to say.
What's good, Steve Larson and many friends out there? It's the cat Daryl Takahashi. My question for match at this week is, showing from the last being the elite, you can all say that the tension in Bullet Club is, as Larson would say, real. So my question is, do you think with the tension that Kenny Omega and Cody Rhodes have, could this lead to Tama Tonga, the bad boy Tama Tonga, an OG Bullet Club member, becoming the leader of the Bullet Club? And do you think he'd be a good replacement of one Kenny Omega, or be a better leader than one Cody Rhodes? Thank you.
Thank you, the cat.
Thank you, the cat.
I like Tama Tonga. I think he's great.
Yeah.
I appreciate the fact that he is OG Bullet Club.
Yeah, man.
That said.
No, yep.
No.
Yes.
I like that he, in his G1 match against Kenny, questioned Kenny's leadership. I like that Tama Tonga wants to assume leadership of Bullet Club. But I don't know if worldwide he has the notoriety of Cody. It seems to me that if anybody's set to assume the lead in Bullet Club, it has to be Cody. He's the one that made the move. He's the one that led the mutiny. Cody is making a power play, and for him, I think it's Bullet Club or nothing, or leader of Bullet Club or nothing at this point. So if anybody's going to take it over, it has to be Cody. And if it's not Cody, then that means Kenny and the Young Bucks are coming back. I think this all boils down to this beef between Cody and Kenny Omega, and whoever comes out on top of that beef is going to be leading Bullet Club.
All right, here's what I think. Yes, Tama Tonga should be the next leader of Bullet Club. Will he be? Probably not, but get this. Bullet Club has had several iterations.
Yeah.
And granted, neither of us are experts, although we're starting to learn, and it's a fun process. OG Bullet Club, Fale, Tama Tonga, Gallows Anderson, and Prince Devitt, the real rock and roll watching their promos is such a joy, and it's so different than it is now. And I think that aspect, they could play this story up. Number one, I think Tama Tonga, he's been in a tag team for a while now, the Grills of Destiny. They've had great success. I think that dude has the charisma, the look, the wrestling skill to be a top-notch singles guy.
I agree with all that.
I would personally love to see a more vicious Bullet Club like we had in its beginning.
Agreed.
Led by one of the original Bullet Club guys, Tama Tonga. I think that'd be interesting. I think they would bring back an edge and a danger that they had. And I think that's what they were established with. That's why people were so attracted to them in the first place, because they had a danger to them. They had an edge to them. And then on top of that, you have already a foundation, a history of, you know, being in Hot Topic and all that kind of stuff. I think it'd be great if Cody put this power play into effect. The Elite did their own thing or whatever, and the Golden Lovers got together. Cody thinks he's like leader of Bullet Club, and Tama Tonga steps in and says, I don't think so. Does that. And then they all kick him out of Bullet Club. Hangman Page, let's go with whoever is in charge.
Yeah, no.
Chase Owens, go with whoever's in charge.
Yes.
With Tama Tonga and his second, the underboss, Bad Luck Fale, that's a Bullet Club I would love to see. All these little shenanigans, cartoonish shenanigans, that's too ridiculous. Getting too much, too cartoonish now.
No, I agree. I agree with all you're saying. I love Tama Tonga. I think he would be a good leader, but I don't think he is going to be the next leader.
Will it happen or not? Probably not.
I wonder what was cool. More likely, that Bullet Club is reconstituted under Cody, or if there's a split. You have the OG.
Yeah.
You have Tama Tonga, Fale, Tongaloa.
Mm. Tokyo Pimp.
Yeah. Maybe they will align with Kenny and the Young Bucks, mm-hmm. whereas you have Cody, Hangman Page, Marty, probably Chase Owens.
I don't know. Chase seems to really like hanging out with Tama and Bad Luck Fowler.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
They just end up splitting from the faction. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't
There's
know.
A lot of unknowns. We got to wait to see how this whole thing plays out.
The Gorillas of Destiny is a great name. They really could just go under that name as a faction.
I know. That is a good name.
Yeah. Anyways, great questions. I love talking about Bullet
Club. Yeah, we have another Bullet Club question coming up later. I just didn't want to put three Bullet Club questions all in a row.
Yeah, and that's a ridiculous one. Anyway. Anyways, next up from our good friend A.O. Worm. He's got a question. It's Black History Month coming up now in February. Let's see what he has to say.
Hey, guys. What's going on? A.O. Worm here. So by the time Match goes up, it'll be February. February is African American History Month. That means I'm about to be arguing, debating with my friends about who should be the next African American face of WWE, since we haven't had a face of the company since The Rock. But my question for you guys is, who should be the next male and female African American face of WWE? Thanks, guys.
Thank you, A.O. Worm.
Thank you, A.O. Worm. For me, it is very simple. This is a guy not just answering the question of what African-American roster member could be the face of the company. What person do I want to be the face of the company, regardless of race? Velveteen Dream. Are you kidding me? The man, what is he, like 23 years old?
Yeah, I think he's 22.
Nothing but charisma, athleticism, in-ring prowess. And oh my gosh, the way people react to him over the past two takeovers has been nothing short of, he is the most buzzed about guy in NXT that isn't named Aleister Black right now. Everybody talked about Adam Cole, or, I mean, look, we love Cian Almas. I think he's great. Johnny Gargano, they're all great. But give me Velveteen Dream. The performance he put in against Aleister Black, that feud was built on the mystique behind the Velveteen Dream. Granted, some of his little effects are kind of corny, but to me, it kind of adds to it. His match against Cassius Ohno, where he once again for that match reinvented himself as Muhammad Ali Part 2, was absolutely fantastic. Magnetic personality. I can't say enough good things about him. And he's only 23 years old. That means there's still 13 years before he's Finn Balor's age. So give me the Velveteen Dream. And then in the women's division, Sasha Banks, she's basically kind of the face of the women's division anyways. Without, you know, Charlotte there, it'd be Sasha Banks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think she'll be around.
Actually, I kind of feel like, especially after Sasha's performance against Asuka and Raw this past week, I mean, when's the last time Charlotte defended a title?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I feel like right now Sasha is kind of
top dog in the women's division
right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's my answers for you.
Good answers.
Yeah.
I like those answers. I'm going to say in the men's division, Big E Langston.
Ooh, all right. Wow, you threw the Langston in there.
Yeah, man.
Is he going to go back once he's face of the company?
Oh, no,
he's
going
to go back to Langston?
But I bring it up because he has experience as top champ of a promotion. He was NXT champion for a while, and the second NXT champion, if I remember correctly, beating Seth Rollins, eventually losing it to Neville. Talk about charisma. Charisma off the charts.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I find him the most consistently engaging and entertaining member of the New Day, and that's saying a lot because they're all fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
In ring, he's a powerhouse, which Vince likes.
Oh yeah, he likes big men.
But also he's entertaining.
Yeah,
he can put on good matches.
I like his hip swiveling stuff.
Yeah,
where he juts out his,
we put some abdominal stretch
pelvis
and licks his palm.
That's so gross.
But he has that spear that he does through the ropes to the outside. Looks like he hurts himself all the time.
I don't like that
move. But it's entertaining. It's great.
I don't like that move.
And he's really athletic for a guy his size.
Yeah.
He does some stuff that, historically speaking, someone who weighs, 300 pounds?
Yeah.
Just they don't do.
Right, right.
Great on the mic.
Yeah.
Endlessly entertaining.
Yeah.
I've been saying for, I feel like, years,
mm-hmm.
this guy has world champ potential.
Mm-hmm.
Put a world title on him.
Mm-hmm.
He's great. In the women's division, Ember Moon.
Okay.
In-ring work, can't argue with it.
Nope.
She's fantastic in the ring.
Yep.
Once they sort out kind of where they want her character to go,
mm-hmm.
whether she's going to be, you know, like a somewhat mystical character with a lot of mystique.
Werewolf.
Or a more grounded character, mm-hmm. you know, based more on herself, or some mix of the two.
Yeah.
They just need to really establish that. If there's a delineation between, in-ring Ember and backstage Ember, make it clear.
Mm-hmm.
Let us know where the transformation takes place. All that stuff. I think the only thing holding her back from being hugely popular is just like her character is kind of
knowing who she is.
Nebulous.
Yeah.
You know, because I think they want her to be relatable,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, when she's out in the ring and she has a context in and the entrance and the ring attire, there's mystique about her.
Yeah.
Put her backstage and there's no mystique in this. Yeah. There's a disconnect there. Just give us consistency and sky's the limit for her.
Yeah.
She could absolutely be the face of the women's division. Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm tempted now that I just remembered somebody else to change my answer.
Oh, Moose.
Bring Moose in WWE. He could be the face of any company.
Before we started, I brought up Keith Lee.
Oh, man. Who wouldn't want him as the face of your company?
Mm-hmm.
He just seems like a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyways, all good answers. Next up, we've got from our good friendo, Christian.
Christian!
Different Christian? This Christian here could be a Hall of Famer in the Friendo Hall of Fame.
Well, I think we already inducted him into the Friendo Hall of Fame because he dubs himself the Hall of Famer Christian.
There you go. Let's see what he has to say.
Hey, Friendos. It is the Hall of Famer Christian here with another Matt Chat question for you guys. My question today does not have to do with the Royal Rumble, does not have to do with Ronda Rousey, but it has to do with the man whose shirt I'm wearing right here, Kevin Owens. Now, we have this confusing storyline with him, Sami Zayn, Shane McMahon, Daniel Bryan, just how we don't know where it's going. My question to you guys is, who should come out of WrestleMania at the assumed culmination of the storyline looking the best? Sami Zayn or Kevin Owens? Thank you, guys. Too sweet.
Thank you, Christian.
Thank you, Christian.
Christian!
Christian! You go first.
Oh, I do. Okay. So let's prelude all this to a little bit of fantasy booking. We saw some tension between Zayn and Owens on SmackDown this week.
Correct.
Let's say the split happens.
Okay.
Sami Zayn wins their match next week. Mm-hmm. He out Owens Kevin Owens
mm-hmm.
in terms of playing a bit dirty.
Healing him up.
Yes. And so what we get going into and out of Fastlane, heading to WrestleMania, is heel Sami Zayn
mm-hmm.
and tweener Kevin Owens.
Okay.
Now, I know Kevin Owens is the more established of the two of them. He's won titles. Sami hasn't. He's been in the main event several times. Sami really hasn't.
Okay.
And while I think if they have matches leading up to Mania, whether it be tag matches or one-on-one, Sami will probably win those. I feel like in the end, in WWE's eyes, they view Kevin Owens as the star of the two of them. I'm just saying that based on how they've been booked.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, at Mania, on the largest stage of them all, I think in the end, if they want to really push Kevin Owens, like we've been reading on Dirt Sheets, that they really have a push in mind for him,
mm-hmm.
then he will be the one going over at Mania, launching him into this weird, not exactly weird, but Stone Cold-esque tweener push.
Oh, yeah.
Where he's not a fan favorite in the traditional sense, but, he's out there just going out there beating people up. Sort of like what Braun's doing now.
Mm-hmm,
Braun just goes out there and causes destruction.
Yeah.
He's not in it for anybody other than himself. He just wants to go beat people up, tear down pieces of stage, toss pieces of stage on people, turn over ambulances, that kind of stuff, I think because he enjoys it.
Yeah.
And people enjoy watching him because of that.
Yeah.
I think to a slightly lesser degree, that'll be Kevin Owens' future. A guy who likes to fight, wants to go out there and fight, and if he has to buck a heel authority figure to go out there and fight, he will do so.
All right. I like your answer. What I'm going to say is this. I'm going to say we can have our cake and eat it too, but in the short term, here's the thing. When Sami Zayn accomplished his lifelong goal of winning NXT gold back in NXT and promptly...
Are you going to steal my idea I had from the SmackDown recap where you do that just the reverse?
No.
Okay, good.
Why don't you just let me talk?
Sorry. I'm gonna make sure you give me credit for my idea.
And promptly had his thunder stolen from him by Kevin Owens. That, to me, was Sami Zayn having complete and total faith in his best friend to be able to do that. It's always been really surprising to me how that dynamic between two people can work if you're a guy who says, man, I've got this, I my character, my career, like it, for reals, I got this title, I'm at the top of my game, I'm going to be totally cool. I mean, granted, they probably told him this is how it's going to go, but it wouldn't surprise me because, you know, from what we've heard, Kevin Owens, well, I think it was Jim Cornette that said Kevin Owens was essentially
Sami Zayn's agent.
Sami Zayn's agent on the indie circuit, which I always loved.
Yeah.
And so I think to myself, man, these guys must have like a real bond,
yeah,
a real trust. And I've always wondered to myself, I wonder if down the line, the opposite would be happening. And I'm not saying like, yes, you get full credit for your idea of, you know, Sami Zayn out Kevin Owens. But right now has to be the time when, however it's done, specifically in your way or a different way, Kevin Owens has to elevate Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn has to take the top spot from him in order for that equilibrium to play out between the two. And this is an equilibrium that needs to happen because of what happened 3 years ago, or whatever it was. And so at this point, whatever happens, and I do think that your scenario of Kevin Owens, and in my opinion, I think Kevin Owens is the one guy who can be the next Stone Cold Steve Austin. I really believe that because he's top guy in the mic. He's got that brutal edge. He can play up that crowd so good. And if there's anybody who looks like an anti-authority figure, it can be him. And so I think he can transition perfectly to a face tweener type, like an anti-hero type. And Sami Zayn, I would love to see what he could do as like a pure heel. I think it'd be fantastic. Regardless of how they play it, now has to be the time when Sami Zayn finally gets over on Kevin Owens. And it might not be the way that we all figured it might have been, where Sami Zayn is the underdog face, mm-hmm, and finally mm-hmm. accomplishes over Kevin Owens. It might be the inverse of that, which is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But Sami Zayn has to come out on top in order for any of it to make sense. There you go.
All right.
Next up from Thayer Thabata. He's got a really interesting question. We have to compare WWE with New Japan. See what he has to say.
Hey, guys. Thayer Thabata here with another Matt Chat question. So we just saw one of the better Royal Rumbles in years. We also saw several months ago one of the better G1 climaxes in years. So my question is, what's better, the G1 or the Royal Rumble? I'm not talking about this specific Royal Rumble and this specific past G1. I'm talking about what is a better way to build up a number one contender for your biggest show of the year, through a tournament like the G1 Climax or through the Royal Rumble. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Thayer.
Always coming with the good questions.
Yeah, man.
Thabata. Oh, man, the answer is the Royal Rumble. What? Look, I know the G1. I understand. I get that the G1 is the showcase every year for New Japan wrestlers to go out there and put on the best matches of the year. That is their goal. That is their charge. I get that. However, nothing gets us more geeked out than that timer going off and who's going to come out? Who's going to come out? Is it going to be the Devil Neckbreaker? Is it going to be Sam Slippers? Who's it going to be coming out next? I don't know. It was the Royal Rumble. It was so much fun. Every single year, it's so much fun. WrestleMania is always like, is WrestleMania going to be good or not? Is it going to be crap or not? I don't know. Royal Rumble, is it going to be crap? Sure, but is it going to be fun while it's happening? And this year, my God, it wasn't crap. Look at these names. Cien Almas, Adam Cole, Bebe. Give me some other names. Rey Mysterio looked like a million trillion bucks. Molly Holly looked like a trillion bucks. Lita looked great. Everybody was fantastic. It's the Royal Rumble. As fun as the G1 is, number one, good Lord, it happens over the span of like, I don't know, 58 days or something. So you can't keep up with all of it. You end up in the end, like this year, you end up with like 23 five-star matches. Who the hell has time for all that?
Dave Meltzer,
and that's it. Nobody else has time to sit down and watch all those matches. I sure don't. Give me the Royal Rumble. I get it in one sitting, and it's great. And we make a bunch of money off of Super Chat because we got the best friendos in the whole world.
That we can agree on.
Yeah. Anyways, go ahead and talk about the G1.
I'll say in one sense, you're right in that the Rumble is probably the more entertaining option.
Case closed.
But
oh, no.
In terms of finding the opponent for the champ at the largest show of the year,
mm-hmm.
I'll take the grueling gauntlet that is the G1, because to win that, you have to prove that you are the best wrestler in the field. You have to what wrestle 9 matches over the span of a month.
No, way too much.
Usually, and I think Meltzer has said this, the wrestlers in New Japan really put their best foot forward in these matches, try to put on the best matches of the whole year. And as a test to show a wrestler's mettle, I don't think there's anything that beats the G1.
Yeah.
You know, the Rumble, you can have someone win it, and it can be potentially kind of fluky. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about a scenario where Daniel Bryan could have won the Rumble without taking a bump because of speculating on the internet where just something would have happened. He would have won maybe not even touching anybody. That doesn't happen in the G1. That's whoever wins that has, without a doubt, earned their title shot.
I wonder if
the Rumble, you can come out 30, be fresh, eliminate 3 people, win, get a title shot.
I wonder if that was like a seriously considered option for them. Have Daniel Bryan come out after two people eliminated?
No,
you don't think so.
It's not even cleared, man.
Well, he wouldn't take any bumps.
Well, they weren't planning him taking any bumps, but unexpected things happen.
Not if there's nobody left in the ring.
You could trip.
That would have been something special to see that count, the clock countdown go
just
down.
Just have him walk out to an empty ring.
And just understand that whoever is coming walking out is the winner. That's a great idea.
It is a good idea. Anyways, give me the G1. Mm-hmm. Whoever wins that earned it, deserves it. I understand it's booked. It's not real. Nonetheless,
it's not
real. I mean, who's won the last few years? Last year or this year?
Oh, yeah. Usually it's crap.
Tetsuya Naito.
What do you mean? I'm sorry.
No, the G1 is historically great.
No, G1 is great. I thought you were talking about the Rumble.
No.
I'm sorry.
No, the last few years, apart from this year, prior 3 or 4 years, the winner is not really who we wanted to see win.
Yeah.
Whereas this year, who won the G1? Naito. We wanted to see win it. Year prior, Kenny Omega.
Oh, yeah.
Really, my knowledge of the G1 extends only that far.
Naito was like a couple of years before
that. Yeah,
he won
in 2013.
2013, yeah.
Yeah. So it's an opportunity for...
Did Okada win it the year after that?
He might have. It's an opportunity for New Japan to declare someone a new star. But then you get to the thing at Wrestle Kingdom where at the end of the show, it's usually the ace that goes over. And like we saw this year with Naito, and there's one time where what was it, Wrestling Kingdom 9, I want to say, 8 or 9, where is Okada Tanahashi went over. And so I'm putting this out there now. This is a tangent, but I don't care. If they really, it seems like the passing of the torch doesn't happen with the belt. It happens with who enters. And again, my knowledge of New Japan is limited, so this could be completely off base. But I read about it this summer.
Speak with confidence, and they'll believe you.
That it's not necessarily winning the belt that passes the torch; it's successfully defending the belt at Wrestle Kingdom that establishes you as new top guy.
Okay,
that's based on what I've read and looking back at previous results.
That could be.
So, anyways, give me the G1. I mean, this year we saw a second rope pile driver that didn't happen in the Rumble. G1 wins.
Listen to this. So, 2016 Kenny Omega, 2015 Tanahashi. 2014 Okada, 2013 Naito.
What that a is great quite a list.
What a great list of names. I kind of want to see who. Oh crap! I want to see who else is on here. Oh, here we go. Before Naito, Okada. Before that, Nakamura. Before that, Kojima, Makabe, Goto, Tanahashi, Tenzin, Chono. Tenzin, Chono. Classic names all.
Tenzan was huge back in the day.
Oh, yeah, big time. I know that much. Anyways, next up,
here and seeing when's the last time the champ lost the main event at Wrestle Kingdom.
Oh, my gosh, that's going to take a little while. In the meantime, we're going to take a look at this question from JT the Professor Hosak. Another Bullet Club question, brother.
Hey, guys, this is JT the Professor Hosak with another Matt Chat question. You guys just mentioned on Friday, which is today, that Hogan could possibly, who knows, join the Bullet Club. We all know what happened with Hogan and NWO. It was Hogan WO the whole way. So my question for you is, Hogan joining the Bullet Club, will he be kept in check or not? Is it good for the Bullet Club or is it not? Steven Larson, pick your sides. Doesn't matter to me. So is Hogan good? Is that a good move for the Bullet Club? Thanks, guys. Keep it up.
Thank you, JT, the Professor.
So I gave us an answer to this. Last time a challenger successfully beat the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion at Wrestle Kingdom was Wrestle Kingdom 5. Oh, it was Tanahashi beating Kojima.
Oh, wow.
So So it's been 7 years.
Willikers.
So the ace goes over Wrestle Kingdom.
Anyways. Oh, you go first.
Oh, I go first? What's the question again? Hogan good for Bullet Club? For the... No!
Yeah, man!
No, anything beyond a one-time appearance is bad for Bullet Club. And he brings up the NWO. Imagine how awesome
that's
the NWO would have been if not for Hogan and Bischoff. That thing would have been so much cooler. Would have been more hip, more edgy. They would have been like, they were like, Bischoff had the NWO obsessed with motorcycles. I don't think anybody else cared about motorcycles except Bischoff.
Yeah, man.
Hogan backstage politicking for himself, not the NWO necessarily, but for himself to go over all the time. In the end, it led to the downfall of the faction. Finger poke of doom. That was like rock bottom,
death seemed like,
for NWO and maybe WCW.
Yeah.
Also, here's another thing. It seems like it's the Young Bucks who are trying to court Hogan and CM Punk to come join Bullet Club. If they're not in Bullet Club anymore, Hogan is not going to join Bullet Club. No. No Hogan in Bullet Club. Keep Hogan out of Bullet Club. CM Punk maybe. Neville for sure. No Hogan.
This whole being the elite, Kenny leaving the Bullet Club, that's not, they're not going to leave Bullet Club. New Japan's never going to let that happen. So get that out of here.
So it means Cody's leaving Bullet Club.
Yeah, probably. Now, let's talk about Hogan. If he were, part of his negotiations probably was, listen, brothers, I book all my own matches. I was like, look, we just wanted you to walk out with us at Wrestle Kingdom. That's it. That's all I want to do. No, listen, brothers.
Well, yeah, so I want to have creative control over my walkout.
Creative control over my walkout. I want 10% of the gate. I want a guarantee of $1.5 million against the gate. Anyways, it would have been ridiculous. Never would have happened. However, yes, it would have been awesome. You know why? Buzz. Buzz, buzz, buzz. It would have been huge mainstream crossover buzz. I'm talking about highlights on ESPN, Fox Sports, whatever Pluto TV has for their sports TV show. I think all that would be great. Hulk Hogan, it would be a passing of the torch from the leader founder of the NWO to the new NWO, mm-hmm. Bullet Club. Mm-hmm. That's what it would be.
No, I got it.
I love it. I think it'd be great. In reality, it'd be terrible. I do not want to see that.
No.
He would think that he's so cool. That's the problem with Hogan.
Cool. He's not cool at
Hogan
all.
Hogan thinks he's so cool.
Never been cool.
But he's not. Oh, man. And he think that it's all about him.
And it's not.
Oh, it'd be so bad.
It'd be awful.
It'd be
no Hogan in the Bullet Club. No, thank you.
Oh, man. Speaking of people we don't want to see, Adam Mayhem. Who we're going to see...
Saturday. No, yesterday.
Last night.
Yeah.
We saw in action at the Colonial Theater last night.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. Happy I saw it.
I'm looking forward to it yesterday. Let's see what Adam Mayhem has to say on Match Chat today.
Buenas tardes, Friendo University. Bienvenidos to another edition of Chit Chat with the Champ. Now, Stephen Larson, I have a question for you. So, do you guys believe in your heart of hearts that the fact that women are getting all this history making matches, woo, buzzwords, so like back to back to back to back, it's actually taken away from the fact that they're making history? Because you know, we had that Hell in a Cell a couple of years back, but then now it's like, oh, Money in the Bank and Royal Rumble, and now Elimination Chamber. Plus, they're always getting something that gets taken away from them, as the Money in the Bank had Ellsworth, and then the Royal Rumble had Rousey. So, do you think they're like setting them up for failure just because they're doing that? Is it good? Is it bad? Just debate that. One of you pick a side. Have fun. Take it easy, guys.
Thank you, Adam Mayhem.
Thank you, Adam Mayhem, and thank you for treating us like kings last night at the Colonial Theater for Virgil Flynn Productions. Let's see here. What did he say? Oh, you know what? There's not really a debate to be had here, but there is an interesting point. If somebody is... Okay, so Stephanie McMahon loves saying, we're making history here. On one hand, yes, they are.
Yeah.
They are. On the other hand, they're really kind of forcing the issue. Does it make it less special? Does it make it less special if they're just doing these one after the other after
the
other?
I didn't really feel that way until the announcement for Elimination Chamber, because it was so, you know, it wasn't even, there was no build to it. She just mentioned it during the course of the whole promo. Yeah. I was like, no, that's a pretty major deal.
Yeah.
But I thought the build to Hell in a Cell was great.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, it made sense.
It rightly main evented that show. Mm-hmm. The build to Money in the Bank was great, but then they shot themselves in the foot with the wonky
Ellsworth
ending.
Thing, yeah.
And the Rumble was great. I'm happy that main evented.
Mm-hmm.
But then I kind of understand people's perspective saying, okay, you had this huge historic match that main evented the show, and then it was kind of somewhat undercut by Ronda Rousey coming out, mm-hmm. which is huge for the company.
Yeah.
In terms of getting a lot of mainstream press, because that was definitely accomplished. But at the same time, it kind of stole a bit of Asuka's thunder, which is a bummer.
Well, I'm so torn on it. I really am.
No, I am too.
Because I see both points completely.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty of people have said, yeah, this is a bummer because Rousey came in. But then I think to myself, yeah, but it's Ronda Rousey who is going to be...
It's going
to
elevate.
She's going to be... She's the biggest crossover star to elevate the women's division. It's like, I understand that people have been there and they paid their dues. I totally get that. But at the same time, they're going to be making a ton of money
mm-hmm.
because of Ronda Rousey. Mm-hmm. And it brought a spotlight onto the Women's Rumble that might not have been there in the mainstream crossover world that if she wasn't there.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly it amplified it. It put a big microscope on it.
Yeah. I think partially too for the Rousey situation. If just creatively it was handled with more clarity,
mm-hmm.
it would have felt more satisfying as a viewer.
Yeah.
But it just felt like, okay, this is the time we want Ronda to show up because this is the Rumble, start the road to WrestleMania. She'll make her debut at Mania. So we have to have her involved. I mean, they made the correct choice not actually having her in the Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end, it just felt like her debut was kind of tacked onto the end of the show.
It was. It was kind of interesting, too. In retrospect, I wonder if they have any regrets in retrospect. Because here's the thing. They do the best they can with what they have. And so...
If it's a situation where they know she's going to have a match at Rumble, but against whom, they don't know what's the storyline, they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But they felt like, okay, we need to have her come make her debut tonight. That makes a certain amount of sense. Again, just wish there had been some semblance of clarity.
Well, I get the idea that you want some water cooler talk for Monday.
Yeah, absolutely.
I get that, but you can have that on Tuesday. I'm kind of surprised they didn't say, hey, you know, the Rumble in itself is going to be a big enough thing for us just to do. Why not come out on Raw?
Yeah.
Because Raw has been the showcase for big things like that. It's like, granted, at the Rumble is where Mike Tyson was in like the owner's suite.
Yeah.
But then he came down there on Raw.
Yeah, how about this? Sorry, I keep interrupting you. Stephanie comes out for a promo to begin Raw on Monday. She invites Asuka out.
Yeah, no, I was about to say the exact
same thing. And then have Ronda Rousey come out then.
Then you usurped my sentence.
Sorry, to be open Raw.
It's okay, but we're on the same page.
Yeah.
I know, it's kind of interesting they didn't go that route.
I know.
But, you know, it is what it is. Like I said, I honestly think that they, you know, they say, hey, we can get her for this or we can get her for this. Well, let's just put all our eggs right here. You know, you don't know exactly how these things are going to play out. And the Royal Rumble is a bigger, it's a bigger showcase than like the Raw afterwards. So, you know, it is what it is. I understand both points of view.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, you and I are huge Asuka fans.
Yeah.
And do we think it took away from her? Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
But is it what's best for business? Maybe.
You know, you kind of have to look at things through two different prisms. You have to look at the short term. And, yeah, it's kind of, maybe it was a bummer for Asuka to kind of have a thunderstorm. But if you look at it long term, it's for the overall benefit of the company, potentially.
And the bottom line is, at the end of the Rumble, and this is to play devil's advocate for the people who say it was good, at the end of the day, you had... Sorry, I don't mean to say that. I hate that phrase, at the end of the day. It makes me laugh, though. You have, in the ring, finishing the Royal Rumble, which is like the number two pay-per-view of the year, Charlotte, Alexa Bliss, Asuka, and Ronda Rousey all occupying the same space in the main event slot as the biggest noisemaker, as the thing that everybody's going to be pointing to.
Yeah.
And that to me is
it's a good image.
Yeah, it's a good image.
It's a good image.
Yeah. So next up, we got a question from. I love this question, and there's so many answers to it.
I know.
Juggernauts has a great question. Let's hear what he says.
How you doing, Steven Larson? And hello to the Friendo Universe, all you guys out there. Good to see you. So, I've seen many moments in matches in wrestling where I say to myself, you know what? I really wish I was there. I would have loved to have been in the building to see that go down. So I would want each of you to pick one moment where you felt that way, where you were sitting at home and watching this on your television and saying to yourself, you know what, I wish I was a part of that. For me personally, I could give you one moment where I felt that way, and that was watching DIY win the NXT tag titles from the Revival. It was an absolutely epic match with an epic conclusion, so give me one moment where each of you felt that way. Thanks, friendos. Have a good one.
Thank you, Juggernaut.
There are too many.
I know. I'm too sitting many. Here looking at the answer I wrote down here and thinking I could change it to five different things.
Yeah, I know.
How about this? You want to try power ranking our
power,
top five?
Power ranking.
And we can go into more detail about our number one.
Yeah, okay. So one of my first inclinations was one of two things. Either an iconic ECW like 1996, 1997 moment. I'm not what.
Yeah.
But something like it being there at an ECW like TV taping.
Yeah.
Not like a paper, like a TV taping where something cool happened. Because I would love to know. I think my main thing is knowing what it's like in the crowd during iconic runs of something.
Yeah.
My actual answer is when Michael Hayes turned on the Von Erichs in that cage match. What was it, Flair versus Kerry Von Erich? Yeah. And Michael Hayes was like the special enforcer / second guest referee or whatever.
Yeah, it was a really confusing situation.
It was very confusing. But man, oh man, if you look at that crowd, they probably think it's real. So many of them either think it's real or think it's like, I don't know. But they were so hot for it, and there was so much passion in that crowd when Michael Hayes slammed that, or Gordy, I think it was.
Yeah, Terry Gordy.
Slammed that cage on Kerry Von Erich's head, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
That would be amazing to be in that building. That would be great.
Yeah.
What's your next one?
Oh, next one? My initial number one was the formation of the NWO.
Oh, yeah.
Being in that arena when Hogan walks out and everybody expecting him to help Macho Man and Sting.
Yeah.
Instead, he turns on him.
Yeah.
Aligns with the Outsider, which forms the NWO.
Okay, yeah.
And that ring is just littered with trash.
Garbage.
That had to be quite the experience.
He said WCW is garbage.
That's exactly what he said.
I like this right here that you wrote down. Bruno losing to Koloff.
Yes, and the garden went silent.
That would be fascinating.
I know.
That would be absolutely fascinating to be there. This one, I don't want to see this one.
What?
The Montreal Screwjob.
Oh, heck yeah, man.
No, man.
That'd be so awkward.
You said this in the most perfect way before. Nobody showed up to watch a contract negotiation go bad.
Yeah, but it'd be fascinating to see how awkward it got in that arena. I've watched it several times, and I don't know. Does watching a video doesn't capture?
Yeah.
How weird that must have been. How surreal the experience must have been.
I would love to time travel back then, like sit front row and start laughing at Brett saying, "You effed," or like, you know, I don't know. I don't know. Just start laughing. I don't know. You know it's not real, right? Just drop the belt, Brett. Just drop it.
And I was trying to go back and think of like when Luthez beat Buddy Rogers for the NWA title.
Oh, man.
Stuff like that.
Give me some Farmer Brown.
Yeah,
I want to
see some
Farmer. Yeah. That would probably be so overrated to go back to old time because it's like 5 hours.
I know. You have to watch two guys wrestle on the ground for 5 hours. That's probably a bit much. Yeah. But I want to see Luthez powerbomb somebody. Remember that gif that was on Twitter a few weeks back?
Yeah, man.
Like legit powerbombing
like
somebody.
Legit powerbomb.
The other one I thought of was being there for HBK's retirement match. Mm-hmm. Favorite wrestler ever. Been great to be there as he said goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
Stellar match, too.
Yeah.
How about this? Let's kind of do the inverse of this question. What's the one moment, wrestling moment, that you were happiest that you were there to witness live?
Oh, the one that I was happiest to? Probably Seth's cash-in. One that I was not happy to witness live was Supreme getting set on fire.
Yeah, I wasn't.
In XPW.
Terribly happy about that either.
That was terrifying.
It was.
We almost saw a guy legit die.
I know.
Ooh.
Not good.
Scary.
Very scary.
Let me ask you something. What wrestling moment would you not want to be in the arena for? Like Owen dying, obviously.
Yeah.
That's a heavy one.
Mass transit.
Oh, God. I mean, that's the kind of thing where you need to like run into the ring and be like, stop that.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Ugh. Spooky.
Probably pretty much like any XPW show.
Yeah.
Some of the clips I've seen from CZW where they do those death matches.
No, no good. Yeah.
No, no
good.
It's not my thing.
Along with that dude who had his mouth all ripped.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
What just happened?
I know.
Does somebody put in for that guy's medical expenses? Next up from Xander McIntosh. Let's see what he has to say.
So, Steven Larson. Braun Strowman, who does he face at a WrestleMania? Does he face the game Triple H? The man who he beat down at the end of Survivor Series? Or does he face the Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle? The man who he is constantly at odds with every single week on Raw? My question for you is, which story would be the greatest to watch, would be the most enjoyable, and which one would be a lot better for the fans and a lot better for Braun Strowman in the long run?
Thank you, Xander.
Very animated Xander McIntosh.
Yes.
Let's see here. Who goes first here? I'll go first.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess Kurt Angle is good. They just bitch at each other every single week. I just want Braun to put Kurt Angle in his place. Just be like, dude.
That's his boss, man.
Yeah, wreck him. You know how many bosses I've wanted to wreck him? Oh, I could have wrecked so many. One punch the crap out of him. Like, I'm not a fighter or anything, but no. A couple of my bosses have been like, you know, old ladies. Look at me a certain way. What is this performance review you're putting in front of me, lady? You want a knuckle sandwich, don't you?
My goodness.
That's your performance
Heel
review.
Steve.
Oh, big time. Healing up on old ladies. The old bag. Anyways,
wow.
That's what I want Braun to say to Kurt Angle. Listen, you old bag, get off my case or you're going to eat these hands.
Get these hands.
And then Kurt Angle's like, all right, fine, let's go to WrestleMania. And he's like, okay, fine.
No, Kurt says, we settle our issues in the ring.
In the ring. And then Braun just completely destroys him.
Yeah.
Wrecks him.
No, correct answer is Triple H.
The game.
They set up the story at Survivor Series.
They didn't set up anything at Survivor Series. That fool never showed up again, stupid Triple H.
Well, they set up what could have been a story at Survivor Series. What? Oh, you want to do that? You love that. Poking his head around the corner to take a picture of Rousey on the ramp. Yeah, just give me Braun, Triple H. Triple H could be at Mania, pass the torch again to somebody else. That's mm-hmm. what he does these days.
Mm-hmm.
Braun doesn't need the rub, but it'll do wonders for him.
Yeah.
Actually, the correct answer, and we used to say this in yesterday's countout, Braun versus The Miz. That's the feud I want to see. That's the story they've actually laid the groundwork
for. They're
going
to do that, too. Yeah. I know. I'm excited. Oh, that's right. There's another one. Braun versus... This is going to be a good WrestleMania if everybody stays healthy.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Potential's there for a fun WrestleMania. If you want to go?
Absolutely.
Let's go to WrestleMania.
Oh, I didn't mean that. Yes, I want to go. I said absolutely. It's going to be a good Mania.
But do you want to go?
Oh, man. I want to be in office in comfortability. We're going to get so much pizza and popcorn. Have you ever had the Slim Popcorn?
The what?
I think they sell it at freaking Costco or something.
The what popcorn?
They call it, what is it called? Slim? Was it called Slim? Hold on a second.
Is it Slim because it's supposed to be low calorie or something?
Yeah, it's like super low on everything.
Oh.
But it tastes really good.
Oh, okay.
Skinny Pop.
Yeah, I've had that
Skinny
before.
Pop. Holy crap, that's good stuff. Like, I'm partial to movie popcorn, mm-hmm. but this is a close second, man.
I'm not a huge popcorn person.
Yeah,
you know
I know.
If it's kettle corn, that's a different story. But
dude,
just plain popcorn.
I
want to
sit
not
there.
Really
dude,
into
listen,
it.
This is going to be April 8th.
I'll bring my bag of nuts.
You bring your nutsack all you want. I'm gonna wear a freaking bathrobe. I'm gonna be ultimate comfortability.
Right.
Can we get a couple of recliners like Lazy Boys for the office?
We'll have to find them and go to the dump and find some too. Otherwise, I won't be able to afford them.
What are you talking about? Get out of here.
Recliners are expensive.
What do you think I got the Patreon for? I'm talking like $300 for each one.
Even that's something I gotta like plan for.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
and
man.
You're talking about going to WrestleMania! Getting a recliner is far cheaper than going to Mania.
Oh, let's put Mania on the credit card.
Oh, my gosh. Anyways.
Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, so last question here.
A text question from Mike Reno.
Oh, this is a great one. This is awesome.
All right. He asked, do you think from the mid-90s on, would Lex Luger continue to be as high on the card if it wasn't for Sting? Steve, you have to be pro Luger.
I don't have to be. I am pro Luger.
And I will argue against Luger.
Oh, dude, absolutely.
Listen, no, I
here.
Go first. You went first last time.
Your answer's
here's the thing. If this was late 80s when Luger and Sting were kind of breaking into WCW at the same time, then you can make an argument for Luger. By the time the mid-90s rolled around, when Luger had already gone to WWE, WWF, was a narcissist, was trying to be groomed to take over for Hogan, body slammed Yokozuna, won by countout at SummerSlam 93, and everybody celebrated like he won something when he in fact had won nothing.
Dick all.
And he showed back up at the Mall of America with the first Nitro in a puffy shirt.
Yeah.
If you go before all that, I'd say maybe.
Yeah.
But at that point, no. Sting was already firmly entrenched as the franchise of WCW. No one was taking that role from him. They brought in Hogan, Macho Man, Kurt Hennig, all sorts of people, the outsiders. Through all that, Sting was still the franchise. He is and always will be, because WCW doesn't exist anymore, the franchise of WCW. Luger, yeah, like his physique was great, but he didn't have a whole lot of charisma.
I disagree. Okay, listen. Have you seen...
At that point in his career, the mid-90s?
Yeah, I don't know what happened to it. When you watch a Luger promo from 1989, that dude was on fire.
Yeah, something changed in the mid-90s.
I don't know if he hit his head or something, but like all of a sudden he was just dull.
Yeah.
So it's not even Sting. I think it's just if Luger hadn't hit his head and lost whatever it was where he could like talk normal.
Also, he's not a good wrestler. Never was a good wrestler.
Oh, that never mattered.
I'm just saying.
I mean, Sting was a good wrestler.
Yeah, he was.
None of that matters.
He had all the charisma in the world.
Hogan was a terrible wrestler.
That is true.
Yeah. No, man, Luger could have been, if it wasn't for Sting, oh, he could have been huge. Really, if it wasn't for Sting or whatever hit him in the head, like that brick that hit Luger in the head, I don't know, maybe Harley Race threw a soda can at his head.
Could be.
Or maybe Bruiser Brody, like, snuck into his house in the middle of the night.
Could be.
Bopped him one.
It could be.
I don't know. But, yeah.
Maybe he got so worn out from just that whole WWF experience. Maybe he just really, like, he got really jaded about the business. I'm just speculating.
No, I have no idea. Could be. He comes in. What if he, like, walked in?
Because it seemed like they're grooming him to be next top guy, and they're like, nah, not going to happen.
I mean, what if he walked into Vince's office and Vince did something or said something so shocking that Luger just lost all love for the business? He's like, yeah, you look great. You're going to be the narcissist. You love yourself. Well, actually, Vince, I really wanted to be more of a complex anti-hero type character. No! You're going to be walking around.
Vince, are you familiar with a character called Stone Cold Steve Austin?
Exactly, yeah.
I kind of want to fashion myself in a similar vein.
Right, exactly. That's perfect. He's like, no, you're going to be walking around in purple and silver with a mirror in front of you all the time.
And well, what am I going to be doing in the mirror?
You're looking at yourself flexing! You're going to be flexing! Just flex a lot! It rhymes with your name!
Oh, man. So, no.
Yes, of course.
No.
Something happened with Lex, man. He walked in that office and Vince just didn't tell him. He's like, oh, man, you should never have left. And then after that, he just hated the business.
Mm-hmm.
It all just passed him by. Who was hot right after Luger? Well, he did the Yoko thing. Like,
yeah.
It was like him
and Brett were top faces. And
Lex, we're going to make you top face.
And then after that was HBK.
He's like, cool, Vince, what's like, so you're going to transition me away from the narcissist game? That's right. You're going to wear a red, white, and blue.
You're going to be all American.
Well, Vince, you know, I think that there's a lot more complexities that I can have, you know.
We're going to put you on a bus and tour the nation, the Lex Express.
Who's going to be on the bus with me?
Just you. Well, Vince, that sounds awfully boring. Time for self-reflection. Maybe those countless hours in the bus by himself have burnt him out.
That guy has a bag of books you could take with you.
Well, I get car sick if I read in the car, Vince.
Fine, you can have one cassette tape in this Walkman. What's the cassette tape?
Why are you giving me Conway Twitty's greatest hits?
Oh, poor, it was all that time in the bus. Maybe one time they parked the bus in like a garage somewhere and he was in it. And like
he was asleep in the bus, they locked the garage. And so it was like a 48-hour nightmare of him locked in a garage in this bus with no lights on, something like that. It was like he was in a solitary confinement.
Oh, man. Why Boom Studios needs to hire us to write that WWE comic. Oh man.
Oh God, my goodness.
I was in here. Oh my God, that was good. What a great way to end Matt Chat. Anyways, yep. Thanks so much to the patrons out there for sending us your amazing questions. Thanks so much, everybody, for tuning in. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Goodbye.